The next adventure of Disney Conversations is about to depart the station. I hope you're all excited for a new journey. All aboard! On the last tour of Disney Conversations, we gave a quick overview of how Walt Disney World began, specifically as it relates to Magic Kingdom Park. On this week's tour, we dig into the heart of the matter, at least as far as Walt was concerned. So let's get started, shall we? As we said last week, Walt Disney began dreaming about a larger property to develop everything he hoped to accomplish. And that brought about the discovery of the Florida property, and thus the Florida Project. Walt was not only a dreamer, he had an eye on what he envisioned for the future for life on this planet. And with that, his concept of the experimental prototype Community of Tomorrow, Epcot, took shape. The original idea for Epcot was to be a fully functioning community that would make use of the latest technology and urban planning concepts, as well as developing more futuristic ideas to make life easier for everyone on Earth. Walt took things like transportation, economic viability, quality of life, education, culture, and community to heart. And since Epcot was meant to be a living, breathing, utopian community, it made sense that all these concepts had to work well together. But after Walt's death in 1966, plans for the Florida Project had to change. As we heard on the last tour, the first part of the development was the Disneyland-type park to begin to draw attention to this new property and generate some operating capital. What was to happen with Epcot? That remained in limbo for quite some time. Who was to become the driving force behind Walt's ultimate idea? We'll talk about that next. After Walt's death, it fell to Roy Disney, Walt's older brother, to assume leadership of the Walt Disney Company. In the past, Walt would have the dreams, and Roy would have to find the money. But now it was time for Roy to take the mantle of running the company he and his brother started in 1923. As time passed, the plans for Epcot transitioned from a living community to a theme park. Many of the original concepts were to remain a part of the new plan. With oversight from Walt Disney Company executives, the Imagineering creative teams, along with the development of the corporate partnerships, construction of the now titled Epcot Center began on October 1st, 1979. I don't know about you, but I think the Disney Company has something about October 1st. Imagineers were instrumental in making the transition from community to theme park by making sure to include the education, innovation, and entertainment into each of the park's attractions and pavilions. We've come to know that as edutainment. One of Walt's big hopes was to help people learn how to do better as a society. As a result of this hard work, a permanent World's Fair atmosphere was born. The two sections of Epcot Center were Future World and World Showcase. And as tales have it was a challenge for Imagineers to overcome for quite some time. They had mock-ups of both areas, but weren't completely confident on whether to make them two separate parks. Until the very moment that Marty Sklar, one of the most popular and probably most well-known Imagineers of the time, decided to push the two pieces together and unite them as a single theme park. That was the birth of what was to become Epcot Center, and it opened on October 1st, 1982. And in just a moment, we'll talk about what existed at Epcot during that time, and we'll also take a look forward at what's to come. A few years back, we celebrated 40 years of Epcot. Well, at least some of us did anyway. When Epcot first opened, there were a few pavilions that weren't quite ready to open. And as I remember, the Imagination Pavilion and Horizons were not yet complete. Living Seas, now known as the Seas with Nemo and Friends, was only a concept. When you walked into Epcot, you were greeted by the geodesic sphere, Spaceship Earth. This attraction hasn't really changed a whole lot over the years, with the exception of narrators. The Universe of Energy was a difficult attraction to get into during the opening week due to constant technical difficulties. And if I recall correctly, the ride cars were powered by solar energy. So maybe there were issues with that. I really don't know. But I did finally get the ride it about 6 months later when I went back. World of Motion was presented by General Motors and was an Omnimover ride that took you through the history and hopeful future of transportation from inventing of the wheel to the sleek and economical automobiles of the future. The Land Pavilion had a few small theaters that presented tutorials on better means of agriculture and the environmental relationships formed by many species in any given region of the world. Anyone remember Symbiosis? It also housed the original Listen to the Land ride. This ride-through was manned by guides with knowledge of the different environments you sailed through along the way. And if you looked up during the opening scene, you might see people looking down at you from the Good Turn restaurant, which rotated a complete 360 degrees in an hour. And we can't forget Communicore, both east and west. These buildings housed hands-on exhibits, including futuristic means of communication, transportation, and household conveniences. There was even a little robot called Smart One who answered questions and made some conversations with onlookers. I won't bother telling you what my name was for him. In World Showcase, the original countries to visit were Mexico, China, Germany, Italy, Japan, France, United Kingdom, Canada, and of course the host pavilion, the American Adventure. Norway and Morocco were added later. And if you don't want to walk all the way around World Showcase, there were two omnibuses that circled the lagoon in opposite directions, one clockwise and the other counterclockwise. And of course, the friendship boats were also in place. Now, one of the coolest areas of future innovation to me was the World Key Information Center. This was where you went if you had questions, had a need for guest services, or wanted to make a dining reservation for one of the restaurants around Epcot. This did not have to be done 60 or 180 days before your visit. It was done day of. And did I mention that these were face-to-face encounters via video screen? And if my memory serves, you still had to hold a telephone receiver to hear the conversation. Kids, ask your grandparents what a telephone receiver is. At the moment of Epcot Center's opening, there were no nighttime shows or fireworks. Now, I'm not going to go through all of the details between opening and today, but I do want to take a look at a few of the changes that have taken place and a little bit about what the future holds. And we may speculate just a touch, so hang in there with me. If we look at today's Epcot, we can see that there are several changes that have been made, and more will be made soon. The addition of Morocco happened on September 7th of 1984, and Norway, May 6, 1988. Maelstrom was a water ride through the history and culture of the Norwegian people. It was transformed in June of 2016 into Frozen Ever After, and Anna and Elsa were added as a character meet and greet as well. In Future World, Universe of Energy has been transformed into Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. It's a roller coaster that is a bit intense. If you are sensitive to lighting effects or have motion issues like I do, this may be one you'll want to avoid. I did try it. I didn't hate it. I might go back on it again later. You might have the same thoughts. Future World itself is being divided into separate zones. The World Discovery Area will include Guardians, Mission Space and Test Track, World Celebration will include Spaceship Earth, the newly opened Journey of Water inspired by Moana, and the soon-to-be-displayed sculpture of Walt Disney. I can't help but think in a way he's just going to be looking over his creation. World Nature includes the Seas Pavilion, the land, and Imagination. Hopefully Imagination will get an update worthy of actually using our imagination. We have seen an evolution within World Showcase Lagoon. We've had Illuminations, which was a fabulous show. We had Harmonious during the 50th anniversary celebration. We have Epcot Forever as a filler whenever they need it. And soon the debut of Luminous, a symphony of us, will debut on December 5th, 2023, which just happens to be Walt Disney's birthday. There is also going to be the new Communicore Hall in nearly the center of all of Epcot. It will become a base for many of the festivals and live events that take place throughout the year, and it's located close to Journey of Water. What does the rest of Epcot's future hold? Only time will tell, but for now, it is still one of my favorite parks anywhere to visit. I'm still able to embrace the nostalgia of my memories when I was there the first week in 1982, and I have faith in Disney Imagineers that they will continue to develop attractions and exhibits that would make Walt proud. Thank you for joining me for tour number 124 of Disney Conversations. I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did. Until our next adventure, tourists, have a great week. We hope you enjoyed this adventure of Disney Conversations. We'd love to hear from you, so jump over to the Disney Conversations Facebook page or email us directly at disneyconversations@outlook.com. And let us know what you think. Until next time, tourists.
PTFN, ta-ta for now.